Welcome to the John, Paul, and Mike podcast. Intelligent discussions about ideas, business, politics, and technology. I'm your co-host, Paul Holmes, and with me today, as usual, is John Jurisic. Johnny, say hello.
Paul, for the first broadcast after 2 weeks of gluttonous eating and drinking... Oh, I'm sorry, only on my part.
Right.
Of course, you were a saint. That was a really fun intro.
Thank you.
You really brought it for 2015.
You know what? It's a new year. It's a new... We're turning over a new leaf, and the radio voice, Paul, will be here.
Oh, outstanding.
All right.
Well, not only do I have to turn over a new leaf, I have to, boy, get rid of some pounds and just...
Me too.
And detox.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Well, And this massive flu has hit our region, and I'm just thinking, I'm never going to get back on the elliptical if I get this flu. So so we definitely need to hunker down, don't we? Hey, this week we're really excited because we have another provincial political leader with us today. Joining us in the studio here at the Vancouver Island Technology Park, Christy Clark. No, just... just kidding. So you'll recall, and regular listeners will recall, that we had Dan Brooks, the leader of the BC Conservative Party, on last year. And so this year, for the first broadcast of 2015, we are joined by Adam Olson, who is the interim leader of the BC Greens. Welcome, Adam.
Hello.
You're right in the groove, too.
Hey, guys, I've done a bit of radio. Yeah.
If this whole politician thing doesn't work out, you can always fall
John
back.
John, Paul, and Adam. I was actually wondering who Mike was, and now I'm sitting here at this table with you guys, and I see him. This Mike is giant, you guys.
Mike's a bigger drinker than John, actually.
Yes, he looks a hell of a lot better.
All shiny.
Okay, we're gonna
hello.
We're gonna post a picture. You know, Adam. It's been, we were just chatting before we went on live how we kind of shut her down for a little bit. You guys have had a busy 2014, and it looks like you sort of shot out of the end of the year with a ton of momentum.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I turned my brain off for the first time in 18 months, so I have to apologize now to you and to your listeners. I hear there's a lot of listeners to this podcast.
Oh,
okay.
Hey, wow.
I hear 13 maybe. I hear that. And so I apologize now because it's been a struggle to turn the brain back on. But I was really
there would
happy.
Be some, you know, who say that it never was on.
Sure, maybe. Perhaps. Perhaps there is. What I will say though is that this is my first opportunity to turn it back, to turn it on, maybe
excellent.
For the first time.
Yeah.
And it's a pleasure to be here with you guys.
Excellent.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
So the Green Party, when I say that, I mean globally. This is pretty mainstream now. What's going on in the world?
Well, look, I think that people understand that the world is far more complex than the political parties have been offering us, whether it be federal or provincial. And I think that we bring to the table that complexity. We have always talked about how our economy, our environment, and our society are inextricably linked. And these are values that I think people are coming to understand. They understand in their world that these are all linked. And so I think with climate change and with all the other things that are going on in the world, people understand that it's not serving us to have just base politics, to just have this back and forth, us and them, good versus evil, black and white. It's now time for us to actually address the complexity of the world that we have in front
of us. Okay, so Adam and I actually go back a while. We've known each other for a while, so my familiarity with you
is going to be trouble.
It's going to be trouble for everyone.
For the show.
So fundamentally, I agree with you, Adam. But sort of that's been around for a while. Like folks have wanted those things for a while. So back to Paul's point: why green? Like, are they dissatisfied with the other parties? Why wouldn't someone say, hey, I like all that stuff. Yeah, I'm going to try to promote it within the Liberal Party federally. Well, why wouldn't they say that? Or the NDP? Why green? Why are you guys starting to get some traction?
Well, okay, look, it takes success to breed success here, okay? And Elizabeth May gets elected in Saanich Gulf Islands. When she decided to move to Saanich Gulf Islands, I was a counselor in the district of Central Saanich. I welcomed her to my home territory, Saanich, the Saanich Peninsula, because I was excited about a new political brand, I guess, coming into the area. Because I was tired of those other political brands that existed. I was tired.
What do you mean tired? Yeah, sorry.
Okay. I was tired of the top-down approach that these other political parties take. And I was looking for a breath of fresh air myself. When I met Elizabeth and talked to her and met the people that came with her, because she was a parachute candidate, she came in, and the Green Party, the Federal Green Party of Canada, put a lot of dough into her getting elected. But there's always been this block for the Greens in Canada, in British Columbia, in places around the world that were unelectable. And that was broken when Elizabeth got elected. And when Elizabeth got elected, more people started to donate. More people started to join the party. More people started to look at it and say, oh, look, this isn't the party that can't get elected. This is the party that can. With that comes people, you know, nosing around even further, digging a little bit deeper. And then we have Donald Galloway in Victoria. Donald Galloway challenges an NDP stronghold, comes, what, 1,200 votes away from a victory?
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
So now people are seeing even second place, strong second place, is a success for the Greens. Because we were fourth, fifth, sixth, you know, depending on however independents were beating Green candidates.
It's not junior hockey at this point.
Well, look, a good, strong...
Although if they get a gold medal,
a
why
okay.
not?
A silver is okay.
Well, unless you're Putin. You see that face? Not happening.
We just went there.
Although,
right on.
Let's talk about the Ukraine next.
No. Let's talk about Slovakia and how happy they were for bronze. Right. So the reality of this is that victories come and look. I'm a bronze medalist, you guys. Right? I'm a bronze medalist. And they say actually in the Olympics, just to shift gears here a little bit, they say that the least happy is actually the gold medalist because you're at the pinnacle.
Oh yeah.
And who the second least happiest person on that medal platform is the silver medals because they just were defeated. Mm-hmm. The happiest person on that medal podium is bronze because they were, you know, the last person to get a medal.
Yeah.
But not only that, they have something to strive for.
Yeah.
So just to segue here, gentlemen, I'm a bronze medalist. I came third in Saanich North in the Islands, mm-hmm. right? I got that taste. Same thing with the Greens in Victoria. We were silver medalists there, but let's just say we got the taste of victory with Elizabeth. We got the taste of success with Donald. We had a victory with Andrew Weaver. David Kuhn.
You did extremely well. You're probably too humble to say that.
I did phenomenally well in Saanich North in the Islands, in a place that was a liberal stronghold that the NDP did very, very well. It was a two-horse race in 2009. I turned it into a three-horse race as a Green. Phenomenal. David Kuhn gets elected in New Brunswick, a place that they never thought anybody, any Green's going to get elected, but he came through. So what we're talking about here is that people are starting to see the Greens be successful, and I can tell you they're stepping up as members and they're stepping up as donors, and those are that's the next step for us.
So Adam, is the Green Party a left-wing party or a right-wing party?
Well, look.
All right, hold on. I want to rephrase this. I want to add it on.
All right.
Because another part to that is, are you taking votes away from the NDP? That's the more global the question here, right?
And I'm leading to that.
Okay, so, thank you. Sorry.
First of all.
You're going to kick me out of here, right?
Yeah.
Should I be rude?
Yeah. Be rude. Good.
You see this?
Our listeners don't.
Explain what I'm doing.
Adam has just put his feet up on the table.
Right. Yeah. And I've got socks on.
Yeah, and what color are they?
They're purple.
Oh,
but
nice.
But more importantly...
Ugly feet, though. Holy mackerel.
Look at what's on the right foot.
Hey, there's...
Is the left sock.
The left sock.
And look what's on the left foot.
The right sock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is my perspective.
Is that what you're going to do in a provincial debate? Pull out your purple socks?
I better make sure I put them on the wrong feet, right? Look, I Facebooked this picture because I did it on purpose today because I knew this question was going to come up.
Yeah.
But I did it. Yeah. I did it inadvertently the other day where I put the right foot on or the right sock on the left foot and the left. I don't know why these socks have got left and right on them anyway, but nonetheless,
the symbolism works on radio.
Yeah. what I'll say is that look, I think for me, I try to strive to not be either right nor left.
Right.
And I look for solutions. This is what I did in business. Look for solutions to problems. I identify a problem. Can I provide a solution? If I can, there's a business opportunity for me.
Right.
And I think that we need to get down to that in politics as well. We need to get down to looking for solutions. And I've watched Andrew Weaver in the legislature over the last year and a half, and I can tell you there's a lot of, and he, this is his, you know, this is his, there's a lot of decision-based evidence-making, which means, you know, a political party makes a decision based on what their ideological perspective is or what their supporters expect them to do,
yeah.
and then they go around looking for the evidence to try to make their decision correct. What my approach is and what our approach is in general is that we look for solutions. So you don't have to be either right nor left. In fact, if you're right or left, you limit yourself in your ability to be able to find what is the most correct decision. Now, we make mistakes. Human beings make mistakes. We're not always going to find the correct decision. So we have to give ourselves a little bit of space, a little bit of leeway to workshop those ideas. And if it's not quite right, then let's fix it. In politics these days, though, if it's not quite right, you get taken out and beaten.
With a hammer.
So that is what we're trying to put it lightly.
And you know, and that's something I want to talk about too, because you know, we've had journalism professors on this show, and that my biggest beef about the media is, what the hell is wrong with a politician making a mistake, saying they made a mistake, apologizing for it, and being a human being like
everybody else? Let's get back to that.
Wrong with that. I want to answer your question. We take votes from both sides of the political spectrum.
That's true.
We've got people who are coming in the doors that are lifelong conservatives, lifelong liberals, lifelong NDP, lifelong independents. They're all joining the BC group.
So here's my little personal political philosophy.
Sure.
I happen to think that Canadians in general, over since Confederation started, are generally speaking a little bit left of center. Okay, mm-hmm. And we've seen that over historically long periods of time when Liberal governments have been elected. This is truly a different kind of era with the Conservative and the Harper governments. I think, however, to be sustainable in the long term, that's where a party has to live, a little bit to the left of center. Now, that means we really have to define what is the center. I think the center is shifting, okay? I think it's shifting. And I think it's shifting to where a younger demographic, somebody who's more and has an environmental sort of criteria for decision-making, is starting to become the dominant voter, a dominant demographic. Maybe. Remember, this is a personal opinion. I think that's a place where you guys could really live. Therefore, I do agree that you're neither left or right. You could be the new middle. Now, let me tell you a little. I'm going to read a paragraph here right off Facebook. It's very public, and it was posted by John Luton. John Luton is a past councillor of Victoria City Council. He's a cycling advocate and promoter. And you can tell the election, the federal election, is on because he's starting to post pro-NDP posts. He's an NDP supporter. And within his post that came up last night came the following. I know there's a new hairstyle competing for attention, as well as fresh new brand ready to change the world. But I've seen that rhetoric before, and it has yet to deliver much substance beyond the cereal box. So I'm looking at that going, I see what they're going to do. The NDP are scared that you are going to take votes away from the left, and we're going to split the left. Now, I saw that happen, and that same narrative happened for Lisa Helps and Dean Fortin. They didn't split the left. They took votes away from the right. So within that entire context, to your point, once again, are you the new left or are you something new? Period.
Did I split the left in Saanich North and the Islands, John Jurisic? Go. No, because the NDP won.
God, Saanich North. Didn't give me time to answer.
I know, yeah.
Wow.
Who's doing the interview here?
I love it.
Paul. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, look, I didn't split the left. You know, between the... If we're left, then we got 20,000 votes in Saanich North and the Islands. Yeah. In a riding that the left...
Yeah.
Has never won.
Yeah.
Come on.
Can I suggest something here?
No, you can't.
Yes.
There's a paradigm shift, and John, I think you've hinted at it with the new center. You know, the young left of center voter that, you know, as you've
eloquently described
them. Yeah. First of all, they probably don't have and never have had a union job. They're not necessarily a union voter. They probably have sort of the normal issues that young families, especially in our region, have, which is affordability. You know, how are they going to afford to buy their first home? How are they going to be able to afford to raise their children? And the, if you will, ideas marketplace is out there, and what they're hearing, and especially provincially, and this is frankly where I come down provincially, is you've got the NDP provincially, which is still very much just a union party. Like this, they're a labor, you know, big labor party. They have, you know, some environmental window dressings, right? And you know platitudes, right? But ultimately, you know, where did they come down on things like pipelines and stuff? Well, where does the union come down, right? The right wing, if you will, for lack, you know, in the vacuum that is the right wing, we have the BC Liberal Party. And as far as I'm concerned, from what I've seen, despite the rhetoric coming from the BC Liberal Party about families, et cetera, is they're squeezing the middle class and they're the party of big business. So if you're a small business owner, if you're a middle class person, you know, working in the private sector, you don't have a home, a natural mm-hmm. home for your vote. And so I think a lot of the success, and you know, and I'm not the smartest person on earth, and it could be dead wrong about this, but I think a lot of the green votes that we've seen have been people are just looking at the alternatives and saying, that definitely doesn't represent me. That doesn't definitely doesn't represent me. Maybe this other option will.
Well, it's people.
Yeah.
I mean, if you boil the other two down like you have,
it's special interest.
Then what the difference is people.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, I said to one. One union leader, part of the, you know, part of the labor leadership, that it's not the big unions that we want to get behind. It's the people who are part of the unions.
Yeah,
it's the same thing as it's not big corporations that we want to get behind the BC Green Party. It's the people who make up those big corporations that do the work for them. Because ultimately, we represent the interest of British Columbia. We represent the people who live here and their interests. And I think that that's what we've gone... You've identified this. That's what we've gone away from. We've got parties that represent big labor.
Yeah.
We've got parties that represent big corporations. And the people of British Columbia are saying, who's going to represent me?
Exactly.
And the BC Green Party wants to say very clearly to those folks, we will. Because... We don't, less than 5% of our donations come from either big labor or corporations. And I'm not even any big corporations. That means that leaves 95% of our donations come from people.
Yeah.
And we want to keep it that way. Because you know what? If people are coming to the table with a donation for the BC Green Party, they're more willing to vote for us. And so you're right. I'm a young man. I'm going to be 39 on the 10th in a couple of days.
That's about the John's age, actually.
That is about John's age.
It is. Thank you. Yeah. No pictures.
I'm part of that group that we're talking about here. A young family guy with a small business. We own a couple of small businesses as a family between my sister and my mom and I. And I'm here because I was looking for someone to represent my interests. And I look at those political parties and I see the two alternatives in British Columbia, and not one of them was doing it. And when I started to entertain the idea of running as a provincial councillor or a provincial MLA, as a councillor in Central Saanich, I explored. And I can tell you that the biggest turnoff for me, and I think the biggest turnoff for my demographic, is when I understood that you go in, you get elected into those organizations, and the only voice that you have is not a public voice. Yeah, there's democracy in the caucus rooms behind closed doors when everybody can yell and scream at one another. But there's, from what I can see, very little democracy in public. And that's a big problem.
All right. Let's get into some policy stuff, please. Okay? So I've been involved with politics since the early 80s. So I'm not as young as you think I am.
So you started when you were four.
I delivered coffee.
Four and a half.
And I've been involved with the parties on the right.
Okay.
Conservatives, liberals, social credit, right. Mm-hmm. I didn't ever think of that. I was business. I've been a serial entrepreneur all of my life.
He sells cereal.
Serial entrepreneur. Yes.
This next statement is brought to you by Kellogg's Cornflakes.
Careful, we'll be sued.
No, just kidding.
So I then have focused all primarily on the business side, on small business. Chamber chair in the 2000s, heavily involved with economic development, especially in the municipalities. And you and I have had this discussion. I get what green fundamentally comes from a place, an environmental place. I understand. There are many, many layers, and it's getting more complex. But that those are its roots. Okay, mm-hmm. Go somewhere else with me on this. Because if you're going to get more voters, how does the Green Party address small business interests? How does the Green Party address that young voter in the middle of BC that Christy Clark just vacuumed into her party? That worker who's working on the pipelines, that is working on the construction sites, that needs a job, that wants to make money, that young person. How are you guys going to deal with those folks and people like me who are passionate about business interests?
Well, and I'd like to broaden the question a little bit and say, you know, what is the future economy, right? Because it's really what we're talking about. If the old economy is failing us environmentally, which evidence sort of appears to show, what's the economy of the future that's not going to compromise people, you know, having children and owning their homes and, you know, raising families, et cetera, where, you know, there's just such a squeeze on, especially in cities like Victoria?
Well, I mean, it's a brilliant question because it's those policies, those right-wing policies that have got us to where we're at today, which is where the environment is failing us. The economics of the past 30 years, the economics of the past 50 years have got us to a place where our natural resources are in sad shape, our forests are in sad shape. It's not only an environmental position to be sad about the shape of our forests. That's also an economic situation that we're in. You have no forest, you have no forestry. The same, you know, it's going to be Christy Clark and the Premier and the Prime Minister that are going to be answering the questions about what the future economy is going to be. I think we all have to answer the question about what the future economy is going to be. And I can tell you that, you know, if being from out on the peninsula and you go to the farmers out there, they'll tell you that the future economy is local. It's regional in nature. People are going back out to those farms on the weekends and they're buying their vegetables. I own a small business that's, and part to answer your question about how does the Greens convince people that we're more than just an environmental party? I got small businesses that succeed and fail. I'm walking in here looking at these things, and Henry Ford. I want to get this just right, so maybe this will be something that you edit. But you know, Henry Ford on one of those signs out there.
Oh, we're not editing anything.
He said, you know, failure is the opportunity to start over again. You know, and get it right.
Yeah.
Right? And that's small business. That's where I come from. My family's gone through several small businesses. Our fiber art business failed in the 1990s, and we stepped back, retooled. Now we're screaming busy. My sister. So the thing is that there's this feeling that, oh, the Greens can't do it. They come from the environmental movement. They know nothing about business. The question that I ask is to say that, look, clearly the other parties don't know much about business either. Because if you're just taking and you're not putting back, we know that that formula does not work. Those people who are looking for jobs, yeah, we might be able to get a job for today, but maybe a job for tomorrow. Maybe. We look at the economy. That's not happening. You know, the economy in this province is still hurting. People on the margins are still hurting.
Yeah.
And
people and above the margins that are being squeezed
are
by things like MSP premiums are being, you know, hurt as well. Because costs, with the exception of gas, the cost of everything's still going up and incomes are not.
That's so
right. People are looking for answers though, right? And so, you know, you're at the moment, like it or not, a leader of a political party, and you know you're standing opposite these people who are the people of power who are not fixing these problems, right? So the question is, how do we go from what we have today to a green future without massive disruption, without massive unemployment, turmoil, etc. You know, how do we transition this economy from where we are to a sustainable economy of the future?
Well, that's right. I was in
and without, you know, riots on the street.
Well, you transition.
Yeah.
Right? I was in the Fraser Valley, right? And the woman asked me, she said, when you get elected to be the premier of the province and you shut down mining, yeah. And I was like, hold yeah. on a yeah, second yeah. here. Like, how irresponsible. That is just completely irresponsible. The statement, the question is irresponsible.
Yeah.
But this notion that that's what we do.
It's out there,
we
though,
take
Adam.
That irresponsible. Right. And so part of it is to do what I'm doing right now. Yeah. And to go around and have this real conversation yeah. with people. Say, no, look, yeah, we're sick to our stomach about Mount Pawley. We're sick to our stomach about some of the things that have been allowed to go on here in terms of mining industry and clear-cutting forests and you know, just taking old-growth logs and just offshoring them. And you know, these are policies that have lost jobs. I was up in Boston Bar, and there was a mill that the government spent money on a First Nations to build this mill, and it's sitting empty right now, right? The logs that they had access to, they don't have access to anymore. They're gone. So, look, the way that we do it is to remind people, or to tell people maybe for the first time, maybe remind some and tell them for the first time that, look, we're not about shutting the economy down of the areas of the economy that we don't like or that are concerning to us. It's a transition. And it's a respectful transition. And people are making the transition in their own lives. They understand that it's a transition. And we're not going to get elected as the governing party of this province and the next day shut down all the things that may be disastrous to the environment or shut down all the things that are... That's not what we're going to do. That's not prudent. It's not smart business. It doesn't make any sense at all. So let's just... wipe that from the list of options, because it's just simply not one. So to sit down and say, how do we take possibly the biggest challenge of our time, and how do I answer it on John, Paul, and Mike, is a big, big challenge.
Okay? 30 seconds.
Come on, Adam.
That's all we want.
Yeah, yeah. And you've got my head spinning. But I can tell you one thing that we would do, is that we'd use the expertise in this province a heck of a lot better than it's being used right now. Because there are experts in all of these different fields that I'm not an expert in, and they're not being accessed by our government in the ways that they should. We are not using the tools of that legislature effectively in order to get the best possible solutions to the problems that we have. I was telling you that I'm a problem solver. I don't solve all the problems, and as the leader of a political party, this took me a few minutes to understand. I was always the guy that said, in my mind, a job well done is a job done by Adam, right? Well, that's not how you can effectively run a political party. A job well done is a job done by this team. And this team of people that continues to grow, by the way. I'll keep reminding people. It's a growing team. And I think we need to take the same perspective into the legislature with us and say that, look, there are experts in all of these fields, in mining, in forestry, in oil and gas.
Well, let me
geothermal.
Let me help reframe it a little bit, because I agree. I don't think it's something Adam Olson. I don't think it's something the Green Party. Frankly, I don't think it's something any current political party is able to answer. That being, how does Canada transition from a resource-based economy into a resource-based economy that begins to reflect values of a new generation, okay? And that's the key. How do we continue to maintain our economic status in the world while adopting and incorporating the values of the 25 to 40-year-old voter that is very concerned about sustainability, about the environment, about a lot of things that a 55-year-old voter like me hasn't necessarily had on the top of their list.
Although the 55-year-old the 55-year-old voter is listening to a lot of what their kids are saying. And they're seeing what's happening.
Yeah. So we like to be hard-hitting here on the John, Paul, and Mike show. but it is, I think, in the next federal election, which between Paul and I, we have differing views on when it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen earlier than October. This will be the question. Which of these party leaders is best able to manage this question? And with oil today falling below $50 a barrel, all of a sudden, this is going to be the quintessential issue for our election. How does Canada maintain its status and standard of living if a resource-based economy isn't able to produce it?
Well,
okay.
We're not going to have a resource-based economy if we just get rid of all of our resources. And part of
well, I don't think that's on the table anymore. I don't think that's on the table anymore. I think we all get that this now has to be better managed.
Perfect.
But it'll be now, okay, how? This issue of transition to what? Transition to what? And I happen to think the Green Party is better or as well positioned as anyone else. The NDP story doesn't work for me.
Well, there's a lot of baggage.
Yeah,
You know, within the Conservative Party, the Liberal Party, the NDP, there's baggage with the Liberals and Conservatives of how they have run things, and with the NDP of their legacy of this 1960s era, you know, militant labor movement, right? And so the Green Party, the baggage the Green Party has is that people thought they were a bunch of granola crunching nut jobs, which you don't appear to be.
Thank you.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Anything wrong with,
and you can show pictures.
And I love.
I get pictures of those socks.
I love a good bowl of granola myself. But you know, I think they're actually better. I agree, John. I think they're actually in a better position because I don't think a lot of people necessarily have those preconceived notions, and maybe older people like ourselves, but certainly the younger voter doesn't have that.
We need to shift the priorities, and what was. Let's go back to a part of the discussion that we were talking about. We've essentially got, you know, this corporate party and this labor party in the province, and who they are getting their funding from, to a large extent determines what their priorities are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is about the priorities of political parties. They all need to shift. You know what? In a greener economy, in a greener world, not a whole lot has changed out there. You know, we don't stop driving vehicles. We just start driving vehicles that are powered by different sources. And so we tool the best minds in this province to go find, or in this country, to go find the solutions to the carbon, or to what is produced out of the vehicles that we're driving today.
Hmm.
You know, it's not changing the world that we live in a wholesale way. It's making small adjustments to the world that we live in.
Better managed.
So that the footprint that we have on this place is smaller. It's like what the CRD did. Now, the CRD took way too long and it was way too difficult to get this through. But they said 33% of our waste stream is organic material. Let's make an adjustment. No more organic material.
Boy, you've opened a Pandora's box. Let's close it.
No, but what I'm saying, but no, look it. But what I'm saying is we have to make adjustments. We're not going to go rapidly grow that landfill up there. So we have to find alternative ways. Now, you're right. I did open the Pandora's box. I was
part of that discussion. We'll close it. That's okay. I was involved with the Lisa Helps mayoral campaign for the city of Victoria last November. I chose to be involved for a variety of reasons. One of them being is that it appeared to be that's where the 25 to 40-year-old voter was gravitating to that campaign.
Mm-hmm.
My four kids are that age, so there was a natural link. It's occurred to me in the last, I'd say, 6 months, that whereas that voter and that demographic has been absent from a political process. They have not voted. They've not been involved.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I think in large degree because they were looking for someone else to answer these dominant questions of where is my future going to lie?
Mm-hmm.
And how am I going to afford it? Which is to some degree why this show started. I mean, Paul came to me going, we need to talk about these issues. How can I afford a house? How can I afford it? You know, how are we going to get better jobs? And there was a shift. There was a shift where that voter started to say, wow, we're waiting for the answers, and there aren't any.
Well,
so we're going to start answering them.
5 years of a stagnant economy.
Okay, we're going to start answering them, and we are going to start to look at this other party over there. Maybe they can answer it because maybe we will be part of it. So how are you specifically going to address mobilizing this 25 to 40-year-old to vote? And is that yet another hot what is life question?
Well, no. I mean, if you take a look at it, so Albert,
you want to answer what is life? You can.
Okay. Again, one of those signs. I partly quoted in a very poor way.
No, you did.
Henry Ford.
Yeah, I love that Henry Ford quote.
Yeah, and the quote out there with Albert Einstein is, "We can't solve the problems of today using the same solution or the same solutions that created them, or the same whatever." So people are looking for a different solution. Mm-hmm. You can only go back and forth for so long and realize that nothing is changing. They're still pandering to the people who are supporting them. Their big corporate or
and
big
influence.
Labor or whatever,
and
influence, right?
I was on the BC Chamber of Commerce Board for six years, one of those two. And it's very Vancouver-centric. I saw that in play. I get that.
It is.
In fact, it's one of the reasons I left, because I wanted to concentrate on my island.
So we provide people the alternative. That's one. We have got to have, you know, coherent platform and coherent policies in order for them to come to us and say, okay, yeah, that's good. Now, what I will say is that in Saanich North and the Islands, where there was that third choice, and I'm not alternative, third choice on the ballot, we had the second highest voter turnout in the province. Where Andrew Weaver won in Oak Bay Gordon Head, he had the highest voter turnout. And the third highest voter turnout was Vicky Huntington, the independent. So where there is another choice on that ballot, voter turnout goes up.
For sure.
And there's a whole lot of people out there that when we go through those numbers in Saanich North and the Islands, and we look at it and say, wow, voter turnout went way up. Wow, we only took what we can see, a certain number of votes away from the Liberals and a certain number of votes away from the NDP, and there's a whole pile of votes here that,
where did they come from?
They're new,
yeah.
Right? There are people, when I take my kid to school, that say to me, Adam, I'm so sick and tired of politics the way it is. These are my peers. I'm so sick and tired of politics the way it is. I'm going to vote for you. I'm pointing at the table really like hard. we're gonna vote for you, Adam, because you're different, because it's different, because it's changed. Now, that's not going to be good enough.
No,
I don't want to sit here and pretend that just being another alternative.
No. But I led you down that path. So there's a voter demographic that hasn't voted that is voting, and I think we're starting to see the both provincial, the established provincial, a la Christy Clark, and the federal, a la Justin Trudeau, very specifically going to go after that vote and try to win by getting vote people, raising the voter turnout.
Yeah. So let me just – I'll just make a comment about that. And that is that what I see the other political parties doing is they say, we need to engage the youth. We need to engage the youth. And that's the full extent – of their youth engagement. they don't listen.
Mm.
They don't create opportunities for listening. All they do is they go in and tell them what they're going to do for them. And yeah, that has...
Well, they don't actually do that either.
And then they don't do it.
I'd actually disagree on some points. You look at... there's certainly windows of examples. You look at the Federal Liberal Party. It was the youth wing that voted to legalize gay marriage. And marijuana long before they became policies of the party itself. And so, you know, there's definitely youth within all political parties have different levels of influence.
Yeah, but I don't think it's ever been addressed in an economic way.
No, it's usually issues-oriented.
It tends to be social,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what's most concerned, but, you know, honestly, it's probably not.
It's changing.
You know, I think if you were to go ask a college student, you know, a young college student right now, what their biggest concern is it the environment? Is it, global geopolitical, or is it? Am I going to be able to afford to buy a house?
Is this just paying my debt down?
Is this degree going to be have been a good investment? Am I going to even get a job in my field? I would guess, and I could be wrong, but I would guess that it's going to be the latter.
Have you asked them, Paul, whether they even want to buy a house?
Well, that's another new question, right?
Well, our communities. And do our municipal governments ask, do we need to be building more houses? Or the engagement happens at no level right now.
Okay, so this is way too fun, but we are at about 40 minutes, which is really, I think, intuitively the limit.
Everyone's tuning out.
They're all tuning out.
So we just want to let them know that this is part one.
I sure
will. Part two will be coming soon. We're just going to turn the mic off, turn it back on, and go.
I hope it airs a part two, because certainly something happened through the municipal elections that was not just in Victoria. It happened in Vancouver, and it happened in other parts of BC, that voters went away from the traditional voting base, whether it was green or whatever, I don't know. And we're going to soon have a federal election. So where your party sits is of keen interest to Paul and I, of keen interest. Okay, and so further definition of what that means is integral, especially someone like me who's keenly interested in business. Before we go, can you please give us contact coordinates for Adam Olson for the Green Party, so if somebody wants to get a hold of you, they can go to these digital places right away?
Yeah, I just want to say just really, really quickly. One, we are working on a lot of these policy issues that we talk to.
Yeah,
we are our arms are wide open to people who want to asking people to come in and give us this input to inform the party in its future. We're going through all of our policy. This is the provincial party going through all of our policy right now with a fine-tooth comb. We want to make sure that platform in the next election is right on par on all three of those, triple bottom line, you know, the environment, of course, social, of course, and we want, you know, economy, of course, because this is the complexity of the world. Now, adamolson.ca, that's adamolsen.ca, that's my personal website. greenparty.bc.ca is the Green Party
provincially URL. Yep.
I can be found on Twitter at Adam P. Olson. I can be found on Facebook at facebook.com/, and this one's still hanging around because Facebook won't let me change it, Olson for MLA, but it'll be useful again in a couple of years.
Oh, a scoop.
Oh, did I? You got a scoop. I haven't said it.
Okay, listen.
You can find me.
I think it's been incredibly...
Just Google me. I'm everywhere, John. Just Google it.
It's been very worthwhile chatting with you. This will likely be the preeminent political policy issue. I hope it is. Mm-hmm. How can we provide a sustainable community for all of our demographics, mm-hmm. all of our age groups, including youth, including the middle class, including the disadvantaged, including older folks? We need to start answering those questions.
Back to serving the people of British Columbia and serving the people of Canada. And that includes labor and corporate interests.
Yeah.
But we need to get back to serving the people, to doing the job that we got elected to do.
Great. Well, thanks for coming on the show. And we hope we'll have you back again when you're available. You're probably between your family and running a political party. You're probably pretty busy.
And the four businesses.
when there's a microphone and it's turned on, I'm usually kind of hovering around. And if you want to get a picture of my socks, you can post that.
I'm going to get a picture of your socks. No, I think 2015 is going to be politically hot. There'll be a ton of activity, and I think this is a great way to start the year with a lot of questions, and a lot of questions to somebody who might be representing the answers. Thanks, Adam.
We're at least digging in and looking for the answers.
Before we close, John, any predictions for 2015?
Yeah. So we got a federal. Okay, you want to go down there?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. So federal election.
Okay.
I think that the NDP is not answering these core questions. I think that their core youth vote is fluid. I think their older vote, that labor vote you referenced, is pretty solid, but I think their youth vote is shifting. And I think it's shifting towards somewhere else. Okay? So I think that they will not, the NDP will not be strong in Quebec, and I think Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party will regain their sort of core constituency there, I think. Okay? I think as we move through Ontario, that the Conservatives start to lose some of that Toronto, what do they call it,
905
vote. I think Justin will pull back some of that vote, and maybe the then we go through. So therefore, I think we hit BC with both the Liberals and Conservatives relatively even in terms of seats. And I think that BC will finally will be able to turn the TV on, and the election will not have been already determined.
That'd be amazing.
And so whatever happens in BC, specifically Vancouver Island, could be very, very important to the federal election in 2015.
All right, this is my bold prediction.
Go, babe, yeah. Go.
I'm predicting a conservative majority government. And
come on, give me a little bit more detail.
I will. I'm doing that because everybody's predicting a minority. And what people are forgetting is that last time, everybody was predicting a minority, and we ended up with a majority. I think what's going to happen when the...
Well, that's because the NDP swept Quebec.
Yeah.
The Jack Layton factor.
Yeah, for sure. But when the debates happen, and Justin Trudeau makes several huge missteps, which I think is inevitable, Mulcair's not impressing anybody, I think people are just going to... They're just going to want the status quo. Even though they're not happy about the status quo necessarily, I think that that's the way it's going to go.
Well, Mulcair is impressing everybody, but it's not translating into votes.
It's the beard.
It's not...
He needs to shave off the beard.
It's not translating
into
votes.
If he grew a little bit longer, then he would be a hipster.
Yeah. If Elizabeth May is allowed on that platform, watch out. Watch out, that debate platform.
Yeah, that's true, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in terms of the Green Party of Canada... I think Elizabeth will hold her seat. I think that there's some good potential for the the Green Party of Canada to pick up a number of other seats. Obviously, it's not going to be enough to put them in a leader of the opposition situation, but perhaps official party status.
I just say, she was led into the debates before she was in the House of Commons as the leader of the party. It would have to be a pretty... I mean, it will be a battle to keep her out of there. I mean, can you imagine if they kept her out now that she's a member of Parliament and the leader? Anyway.
I know. That'll be quite a fight, I tell you.
And I would predict that if that's what happens, there are going to be an awful lot of people that are extremely angry. And that was one of the reasons why she was allowed in the last time, from what I remember, was there was this groundswell.
Well, maybe CBC will want to stick it to the Conservatives and put her in there.
The other thing that I think, the other prediction is I think the Bloc's going to be totally wiped out. I don't even think their new, somewhat dynamic leader is going to win their seat. And I think that Justin Trudeau and Thomas Mulcair will split most of the seats in Quebec. How does that sound? How does that sound, John?
Well, I think that's great. And you know that we're going to replay this when I win.
What's on the table?
It was a chocolate hat last time, but no, we never actually got the chocolate hat because we were all kind of close.
You mean what do we win? Or what's the question?
Is this just bragging rights? Every show afterwards is just like,
actually, massive bragging rights, because I was brutally correct on all my minutes.
We were shockingly close. So he had predicted Lisa Helps would win by a large amount. I predicted
89 votes.
I predicted Lisa Helps was going to lose to Dean Fortin by a small margin.
Well, split the difference. So, you guys are...
Split the difference. We were bang on.
Excellent. You guys almost have a job as pundits.
almost, yeah.
You want to add to any of our bold predictions?
I will not.
Oh, you're asking the leader of the Green Party.
I will not be making any predictions. What I can tell you...
That's a really objective.
what I can tell you, though, is that from what I have seen, there has been a groundswell of people who are stepping up, not only with their bodies and their minds, but with their wallets as well, to both the federal party and the provincial party over the last number of months. So I will say that the only prediction that I'll make is that we're going to do better than we've done in the past, and that's... That is, when you ask me how we're going to do this, it's organic growth. And we keep trying to push ourselves further than we can. I think what we need to do, and this is it, we talked hockey, right? One game at a time, one step at a time, one shift at a time. right?
All right. Let's okay, we'll leave you at that. Until next time, it's the John, Paul, Mike, brackets, and Adam show. Tuning out for the first show 2015.
I love how your voice goes up at, and Adam.
Not all until right. I make a prediction.
Okay.
Ron,
see y'all.
Ron Burgundy.
All right.
That
thanks
title
for
would be too long.
And that's the John, Paul, and Mike show for this week. If you want to learn a little more about John Jurisic, visit his website at harbordigitalmedia.com. That's Harbor with a U, because we're here in Canada. If you'd like to learn a little bit more about Paul Holmes, follow him on Twitter at TP Holmes. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you love our show, follow the show on Twitter at John, Paul, and Mike, and on Facebook and YouTube / John, Paul, and Mike. And of course, our website, johnpaulandmike.ca.